Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean. And we're D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. Well, you know, it is Pride Month, so I woke up this morning and decided I wanted to be Dean.
I woke up this morning and I decided I wanted to be Diana. So
we might get in trouble for that. But yeah.
No, we won't. We're not FTC regulated.
Right.
FTC regulated, yeah. So
we'll do what we want when we want.
Right.
So... boy, there's a lot that happened this week. You know, it started to get really scary with the whole Ukraine thing. And the they don't talk about this on the news like at all. They're they're promoting their LGBTQ flags everywhere and all the businesses, and you know, that's just a distraction to so that we can not know what's going on over there. And I think Diane tonight, our guest, who we're honored to have back again, is going to update us on that. But as far as New York, oh, my God, what a shit show.
Yeah. You know,
they were saying
New York City is a sanctuary city.
Yeah.
And so there's so many – now they call them, instead of illegal aliens, asylum seekers. Okay, and I want to seek asylum because they've got a great deal. And they're sending 60 of them, two busloads of them from New York City – to here where we live, to a suburb of Erie County, because the county executive has said, hey, open door. Now, to me, I want to know, do these, you know, these people are from out of the country. Have they been tested for COVID? Have they been tested for TB?
Well, we all know that COVID testing was fake anyway, but I understand what you're saying. They, you know, my kid has to be vaccinated to go to school, so she doesn't go to school because of that. I homeschool, and... are they, what are they doing? You know what I mean? Are they making them do that? But instead they're giving them free iPhones. In fact, I have a girlfriend that lives in central New York, and she said she was seeing them standing out on the street corner. And, I mean, they were dressed to the nines.
I know. And, you know, they're getting a free hotel room. Now, personally, I'd like to take Diana to a hotel room, but, you know, I'd have to pay for it.
What Diana? Oh, me?
Yeah, you. Yeah. No, myself. Yeah. So,
people don't really know. They just think we have a relationship on the radio.
Yeah. But anyway, so, and then, you know, I was listening to an Erie County legislator today talk, and he was saying that they will be on public assistance of some sort or another for 2 to 5 years. So, you know, Diana, I think we should become asylum seekers. We'll get a free hotel room. they will get room service, so we'll have whatever food we want.
We're just going to drop our identity, leave, come back, and
yeah, right. Yeah, you know,
it really is disturbing though, because there's so many people in this country, and we're talking about the veterans, especially. You know, the veterans are just getting crapped on all over the place. You know, they got it. These veterans can't pay for their prescriptions and their health care. And
well, where was it that they threw the veterans out of the homeless shelter or something? Yeah, they threw them out of their homeless shelter and filled it up with the asylum seekers, illegal aliens, migrants, whatever the hell you want to call them. You know, it's different every day. Then tomorrow they'll be gay.
But I'm sure they're going to have free dental care, because one of the bills that passed through legislation, it passed through assembly, not senate yet, but was one where dentists can administer the COVID vaccine or any vaccine when there is a public health emergency. So, you know, it's just weird how they're setting all this stuff up. And when you look at, you know, going on in Ukraine, you look at what's going on in Russia, and then you look at the video that New York sent out not that long ago, what to do in the case of a nuclear attack.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that video scared the life out of, like, a whole bunch of people. They were like, what are you talking about?
Well, and I guess there's a bunch of people that say that the doomsday clock is down to 90 seconds. You know, so it's the lowest it's ever been in history. And people were saying, well, why don't you just unplug the clock? Well, you know, so it's a indicator clock. It's not really telling time.
Is that like kind of the counter that shows our national debt, which I don't even think that thing is.
I don't think it can go fast enough. The diodes on that have burnt out because it's going so fast.
Exactly. But so back to the New York State legislation, they ended their legislation last week. They were doing their typical 24 hours straight, passing, you know, 600, 700, 800, who knows how many bills that they do. They don't do anything all year, but they pass all those bills in the very last days. And some of them are ridiculous. And all that can be found on the Senate page. But they're going back to a special session on the 20th.
Special.
Yeah. So, I mean, now you got parents all up worried and scared that, well, here we are. You know, because look what they did, you know, back in 2019 when they got rid of the religious exemption right at the end of the session. Who knows what they're going to do and who knows what they're going to pass. Now, they only called the assembly. But I happened to talk to an assembly member, assemblyman who is a friend of mine, and they said that it will probably be Senate that's called back too. So who knows what they're going to do and what they're going to pass. But, of course, you know, that adult vaccination database is still there that was put in the health committee.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and, of course, we've still got that. What?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
this is Diana.
This is me. No, we're trying to be, all right. Diane's probably still going, what are they doing?
Yeah.
I know she's already listening. Good. That was pretty funny. And that was my idea, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So.
It was Diana's idea.
You know, who knows what they'll do in this session. And, you know, they could pass. She can call a special session anytime she wants to. It does not have to be during, you know, legislative season. So, you know, I don't know. It always makes me nervous because they are, and you know what they're driving for. They're driving for this, you know, new world, one world order. And, I mean, look at even some of the, you know, countries now that are dropping the U.S. currency. There were several this week.
Mm-hmm.
The draft of U.S. currency. So,
you know, for those of you that don't know out there, for some reason, you know, this happened right after World War II. The U.S., you know, maybe they held back Marshall Plan aid or something. They said that all oil has to be traded in U.S. dollars. So we became the reserve currency of the world. So, you know, if the English, who have pounds, wanted to buy oil, they had to convert their pounds to dollars and then buy the oil in dollars. So people have said, yeah, this is BS. The Federal Reserve is not doing their job, and that's why the libertarians, Diane and Mike Termat, want to get rid of the want to get rid of the Federal Reserve, because their job, their charter when they were developed was to preserve the value of the dollar, which they've done a terrible job. What is it? A dollar today is worth a penny in 1900 or something like that.
Yeah.
And, all of a sudden the Federal Reserve the past couple of decades has taken it upon themselves to, unemployment's high. We've got to do something about it. Inflation is high. We got to do something about it. No, their only job by charter was to preserve the value of the U.S. dollar. They were never supposed to take on debt. Yes. They've got several trillion dollars, I think $5 or $6 trillion worth of debt, because they've been printing money, which they're not allowed to do. And so they should go away. Right, Diane? Right. Okay.
Right. Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay. For those of you that didn't tune in at the beginning of the show, he was trying to be a female, and I was trying to be a male. And it's just not working. So anyway, state lawmakers passed a bill, and they're considering reparations for slavery in New York State. So, 300-400 years ago, if you had slavery in your family, somehow you're going to pay for that. That is your problem.
No,
it's your sin.
Everybody is going to pay for it.
Yeah, and how is the question?
The problem is my ancestors only came over in the early 1900s, so they never owned any slaves, so why should I pay? I read an article about how the whole reparation thing is illegal, because reparations are only for people that were slaves by the slave owners. Well, there's not a single person that's alive that was a slave, at least back prior to the Civil War, and there's not a single person alive today that was a slave owner back before the Civil War. So how, what are you repairing, And it's just another big money grab to get rid of the middle class.
Which is their ultimate goal.
Right.
They want us all in 15-minute cities, and there are several large cities that are actually thinking about practicing that now, for real.
Yeah, well, Buffalo is a 20-minute city. Buffalo is a 20-minute city.
What are you talking about? You mean to get him from one place every?
Yeah, and everybody up here, and I'm not from Buffalo, but if it's 22 minutes away, that's a long ways.
Yeah, right, Mom. Well, we could live in the middle of the country, then you'd be thinking. But I want to talk about, before we bring Diane on, because we're getting close to where we need to do that, but they found monkey DNA in the COVID-19 shots. And it was almost 70 to 75% of them. So I guess, if you start going, you got that shot. Or worse, because now, they were saying with all the myocarditis and all that was in the beginning, and Sharon Tenpenny, she called this, spot on. She said, next will be autoimmune and cancers.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a friend who is an oncologist. And I don't talk about her often, and she confides in me, I would never give a name, says that the amount of reoccurring cancers is unbelievable that is coming in. So, of course, that means that Big Pharm is making even more money.
Mm-hmm.
So if we keep the people sick, we keep the big drug companies in business.
And
if they're not spraying it on us, they're shooting it in us, or they're putting it in our food, like Australia. They announced that they're going to be doing mass injections of mRNA vaccines in their livestock.
For the people like us that refuse to get jabbed.
Yeah, just in case you missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, and I say this every week, buy organic. Oh, you can't trust the food supply. You don't know. Well, I'm willing to take a risk to buy the organic anyway. So it is what it is. And whatever they're spraying on us, we talk about this every week. The amount of chemicals that they're spraying on us is just, what are we going to do about that?
Well, you know, last week we had the Canadian forest fires that blanketed pretty much the whole Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
And one morning I woke up and I swore I could smell an electrical fire. So I ran all, you know, I got scared to death. I ran all over the house. You know, it, couldn't really figure out where it was coming from. I ran around the house because I said, well, maybe one of the wires coming into the house is on fire or something like that. No, it was just in the air. Probably these forest fires are burning up electric lines and making that smell. It's
or,
a pretty distinct
or,
smell.
Yeah, or it just happened to be the, you know, the toxic chemicals and nuclear chemicals that disappeared off that one train and they couldn't find.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? I mean, whatever happened to that, I don't know.
Nah.
But so all the more reason to, and I talk about this every week, to get on that zeolite. You know, and that's that heavy metal chelator detox spray, you know, because we're getting bombarded with heavy metals. If it's not in your food and your cleaning supplies, it's in the air, and you know, we all know that. Do you have the website up there by chance? Because I always forget it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I know that you have it quick. So, and then we're going to bring Diana on so she can do her introduction.
So then the next day, of the forest fires, I woke up. And it smelled like someone had a bonfire right outside my bedroom window. And they said
it was pretty bad.
It was that, you know, don't go outside, don't breathe the air, stay inside. And they said it was like smoking half a pack of cigarettes a day. Well, back in the day, in my formerly nicotine-stained fingers, a half pack didn't even, you know, cut it. You know, it was
yeah.
a pack a day.
Well,
but for the first time that I can remember, I was panting walking up and down the stairs of my house.
Yeah, it was bad. And, you know, I mean, people were saying this is a drill. This is, you know, more ways for them to keep us inside. It's hard to know. It's hard to – there's a lot of theories out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I do believe that they are trying to get rid of farmlands and, you know, why are they destroying all of these cows all of a sudden? All of a sudden, all these chickens are sick. You know, all of a sudden, they're destroying dairy farms. Why is that? So they can interrupt the food supply.
Yep.
So that website for the zeolite that I was talking about, and they also sell a green powder, which is really, really good to keep in backup, especially, and they grow all of their greens inside a greenhouse, so they're not exposed to the elements. That's the one that we use.
And I got news for you guys. If you're drinking this stuff, don't spill it on your clothes.
Well, yeah.
It really, really stays green.
Yes. And in your teeth, too. But anyway, Hope. Why did you say the website? I can't see that far right now.
HopeHealth.TheGoodInside.com.
Yeah, HopeHealthTheGoodInside.com. We'll put that on our Facebook page, too.
So HopeHealth dot TheGoodInside, all one word, .com.
Yeah, you really, really want to just be on that. You know, if there's one, and people ask me all the time, what supplement should I take? Well, a lot of the supplements that are out there are junk. They tax your kidneys. They tax your liver because they have so many fillers in them. This is absolutely one that I would recommend.
Mm-hmm.
And CoQ10 mm-hmm. is a good one. So, yeah. So, anyway, Diane, you know, we've had Diane Sarah on before. She is such a wealth of information, and I know that there's a lot of people that have listened to her before and that are tuning in again tonight. She's going to update us on everything that's going on with her campaign. And she's had some really cool lives and some really cool seminars the last couple of weeks that I've been watching. And her secretary is phenomenal on sending us everything, too. So very good PR.
And she's, for those of you that don't know, she's a libertarian candidate running against the lapdog Kirsten Gillibrand.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chuck Schumer's lapdog. So, yeah. Diane, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, we hear you.
You can hear me, I take it? Okay, good. Yeah, first of all, I have to say right now, so far, I'm not a libertarian, but it may be that we end up collaborating on party line and ballot access. It's all sort of up in the air, but am independent. And I last race against Schumer, I was alone on my line, and I called it LaRouche because they wouldn't let you say independent as opposed to
right.
LaRouche independent. But look, we are in both an extremely dangerous situation and one with a lot of potential. As far as the Ukraine situation goes, as people may be aware, the city of Bakhmut, as it's known in Ukrainian, or Artemovsk, as it's known in Russian, finally, after 244 days of battle and horrific loss of life, mostly on the Ukrainian side, but also on the Russian side, fell to the Russians. And this has not been covered much in the West because we have to have the narrative that Ukraine is winning the war, and if we just send more weapons over there, Ukraine is definitely going to win. And I would encourage everyone to just take a look at a map at the size difference between Ukraine and Russia, which covers 11 time zones. And also think about what Russia is producing. And I just heard a kind of fun interview from a friend of mine, Scott Ritter, who just came back from Russia, and he said the Russians are saying, thank you, Joe Biden. Because of your sanctions, we have had to become totally self-reliant. So we're producing all kinds of things here that we never produced before. Unemployment has never been lower. The cities are clean and beautiful. It's really, so their economy is thriving. And then you have Joe Biden over here when he can even get words out, which he has a hard time doing now because of his dementia, is trying to blame Putin for the hardship that he and, frankly, many previous presidents have imposed on the country. And I also want to just address this latest obscenity of the indictments against former President Donald Trump, because if people don't like Trump or don't agree with his policies, that's your prerogative. You don't have to vote for him. You don't have to support him getting on the ballot. That's fine if that's your position. But the Department of Justice and the FBI are not supposed to determine who is allowed to be a candidate and who is allowed to win. And we have now an incumbent president deploying his appointed cabinet officials to destroy the candidacy of one of his leading opponents.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of thing that you might see in what they would call a banana republic. It is a horror for the United States. And I heard Trump's remarks at Bedminster after this, where he went through also, because, you know, I'm going to keep saying equal justice under the law or no one is above the law. Well, okay, we have a sitting president who announced February 7th, 2022, that if Russia invaded Ukraine, Nord Stream would be over. And then Nord Stream gets blown up in the biggest act of infrastructure terrorism in history. And a very well-known and highly regarded journalist, Seymour Hersh, writes a lengthy documentary based on whistleblower reports that Biden, Victoria Nuland, Tony Blinken, Jake Sullivan were all involved in the decision to an act of terrorism, to blow up a pipeline. Now, if it's really no one is above the law and equal justice under the law, well, here you have an actual act which actually destroyed the energy for Europe. They were very lucky it wasn't a cold winter, which had a real effect, destroying an $11 billion infrastructure project. The Congress will not even hold an investigation. So no one is being held accountable. Trump had a bunch of boxes of various documents, some classified, in his very well-protected home, and he is the former president. And under the National Records Act, there is absolutely nothing illegal about this. And all kinds of former presidents have all kinds, well, there are many not living now, but this is completely common, as we see from Joe Biden, who was never president and doesn't have the right to have boxes of documents in his garage, or what Trump described as Hillary Clinton, you want to hear obstruction of evidence, acid washing her computer and smashing her cell phones with a hammer. So we can't allow, when people say these things, if you are in a position, it's not just someone on the radio, we all have to vow. We don't have to be nasty. We don't have to be mean. We have to tell the truth. This is a lie. This is a fraud. It's a witch hunt. And I wrote a short statement about this, actually, and because I was looking at the media, Donald Trump, this, Donald Trump. And I said, this is not about Trump. You could go back to the assassination of President Kennedy 60 years ago this year. And what happened? The Warren Commission produced a report that everyone knew was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
But they were so terrified that we went along with it. So then what happened? Malcolm X was assassinated. Martin Luther King was assassinated. Bobby Kennedy, who was likely to become president, was assassinated. And then we had the continuation of the Vietnam, which Kennedy wanted to get us out of. And we had MK Ultra and the Tavistock Institute, a project under the so-called Congress for Cultural Freedom, where literal Nazis who had come into our CIA from Germany were running experiments on college students with psychedelic drugs to destroy them, to destroy their identity. And so what was the so-called counterculture became the culture.
Yeah, and there
and
was a reason
now,
why all
what,
this information wasn't captured. Sorry, I thought I was on mute there. But
go
there
ahead.
Is a reason why all of his information was encapsulated for so long. You know, they didn't release any of that stuff, and then it was due to be opened, and then they extended that for what, another, how long was it, Dean?
I don't know. Originally, I heard that Jackie had sealed Kennedy's papers until 2025. That way, nobody that was involved and alive at the time would still be alive. So it wouldn't implicate anybody. That's what I originally heard. And then I heard, like, in what was it, 2018, they were supposed to have let some papers come surface, and they reclassified them again.
Yeah, I think this shows why you have to have a movement, is that, remember, Oliver Stone did the film JFK. So in 1992, it became such a scandal that we still hadn't got to the bottom of this, that the Congress actually passed a law saying all of the files have to be released by 2017. And then what happened, that was under Trump, under 2017, and you may have heard Judge Napolitano said that Donald Trump said to him, if you saw what was in there, you would know why I'm not releasing them, which I think is bad. I think they should have been released. Then, of course, Biden, forget it. He released a few more. But so we still not got to the bottom. And I think it was also a terrible mistake that Trump did not, let alone exonerate, LaRouche, which we were trying to get done, but that he didn't pardon Julian Assange. Because look at Assange.
Right.
He's being tried under the Espionage Act. That's what they're using against Trump now, which is complete crap. Whatever documents he has, he wasn't selling them to foreign governments. In other words, what Trump is being accused of doing, there is no harm. There's not an injured party. Our nation was not injured. Blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline, we were injured. How about what Bush and Cheney did and Pelosi said? Oh, we all knew there were no weapons of mass destruction. Well, if you knew that, why didn't you stop the Iraq war? Right? And that killed a million people in Iraq. And if you count the contractors and U.S. military, 10,000 Americans died in that war. Now, who's been held accountable for that? No one. So this whole thing about no one's above the law and it's total crap. And this is part of the reason why I think Americans are so pessimistic and frustrated, because they see somehow that truth apparently has no standing in our judicial system.
Well, unless you're a Democrat, you look at what Hillary Clinton did, and you look at the Biden crime family, where they've, gotten millions of dollars. And not only Hunter, but, the big guy got it too. He probably doesn't remember, but his bank account, I'm sure, is nice and padded. And, but they've been looking at Trump since 2015, since a year before he became president.
Mm-hmm.
They've been investigating him for something or another. And, you know, I was never that big a Trump fan. I always said, I was a Ted Cruz guy. You know, I always said, if Trump were my next door neighbor, I probably wouldn't be friends with him. Good for the country.
Yeah, so, I mean, that this is just, we can't not discuss it because it's such a travesty. The other interesting situation is the announcement by Bobby Kennedy Jr. that he's running. And I don't know why he's running in the Democratic Party. And I know a lot of people, former Bernie Sanders supporters, who were badly burned. They felt the burn, but in a different kind of way, if you know what I mean. Badly burned, are very distrustful. I don't know what I can't vouch for whether someone else can be trusted or not. I think the main thing is if we know we can trust ourselves, which is frankly requires some work. But he is talking about the role of the CIA in the murders of his father and his uncle. Now, as far as I know, no one else in their family has publicly come out and done that. He also is very clear on the situation in Ukraine, and he's very clear about this corporate fascism. Now, hopefully he's going to begin to understand that that's also what's behind green energy. But, you know, no one is perfect, but I find it frankly remarkable that you do have these two voices, Trump's and Bobby Kennedy Jr., who clearly are going against this, whatever you want to call it, World Economic Forum, Military Industrial Complex, British Empire, whatever you want to call it, operation. And there will be every effort made to silence both of them. I was out in the streets of Manhattan today with a campaign table. I could actually, most of the people I met, and they're mostly Democrats, were not even aware that Bobby Kennedy Jr. is running for president. So the party, right, as they did to Tulsi Gabbard, who wisely left, does not intend to let anyone know he's running or allow the candidacy. So I'm not sure how that is going to play out. But what it does do usefully is it raises the ghost of President Kennedy and his statesmanship, frankly. And the idea that our nation used to have leaders who had a real quality of dignity, of respect, that they respected other nations respected us, and there was a certain standard, and we need that desperately. So now, having given that background, Ukraine. I was involved in a discussion today with some people, including a very senior former Senate staff advisor, Intelligence Committee advisor, who said that one of the things that makes the situation so dangerous now that, one, their narrative is falling apart, Ukraine is not winning, Ukraine just did this big offense, quote-unquote offensive, and in the first 3 days they lost 3,600 men and, I don't know, 28 tanks, including a bunch of Leopard tanks and, I don't know, 1,000 or something, various kinds of military vehicles. I mean, they're taking huge losses. They captured a village that apparently has two houses in it or something like that. This is all going to fall apart. And what Biden is being told, apparently, is that his reelection depends on Ukraine winning. Now, if that is the case, we may as well kiss our rear ends goodbye, because there's the only way that can happen is with the use of weapons, of nuclear weapons, biological, chemical, whatever, a total just annihilation. It's Armageddon time, because Russia cannot, will not lose. And Putin was very clear when he began the special military operation. He said, we had an invasion from Napoleon. And thankfully, Russian General Winter, as they call it, hit Napoleon's army, and he came in with, I forget how many 100,000 troops and left with 1,000 or, I mean, like nothing. And then they had Hitler, Operation Barbarossa, where 1 out of 6 Russians died. And for Americans, that's unimaginable. When a Russian says never again, that is a personal oath. That means they are never going to allow this to happen again, period. And unlike now here, where you notice we no longer celebrate VE Day, we don't celebrate the victory against the Nazis. It's really spitting on all of our World War II veterans. For them, it's like a sacred trust. They had something called the Immortal Regiment, where they remember every year everyone who died in a war as a hero. And it's considered like a sacred thing that you never forget these people, like we said about 9/11, which they're trying to make us forget. So they will not lose. They simply will not, no matter what. So what we're on is a collision course which has no resolution, in my opinion, unless we get something to break inside the United States, something to break open where somebody, some group of whistleblowers, some people in the Congress go or spying, something, and this, we stop this. It has to be stopped, because on the trajectory we're on, and if this is what Biden believes, is that his reelection depends on Ukraine winning, and Ray McGovern, who's a former CIA analyst whistleblower, said that apparently the only person briefing Biden is this woman, Avril Haines, on the National Security Council. She's a protege of Tony Blinken. Tony Blinken is not a military strategist. He's a political hack. He doesn't know anything about battle or strategy. So he's just, you know, blowing smoke out of his rear end, giving this to Avril Haines, and that's what Biden. So Biden, for all we know, may be being told, probably is, that Ukraine's doing great. They're winning. I mean, it's really scary. So if this doesn't alarm people, then you're not in the real world. And I had a guy today on the street. Well, as I said, I was in Manhattan, so what do you expect? But it's much more lively, and there are many more different opinions than you would think. But I did meet, unfortunately, more Biden supporters than I expected. But anyway, one guy said, well, you can't just say that. You're just fear-mongering. I said, well, it is reality. Well, you can't just do that, and I'm not scared. And I said, well, you're not in reality. That's where we are.
And he was probably the same one that had he's probably the same one that had 4 jabs and is still wearing a mask around, too, but he's not scared. Or he's scared. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's
but
scared of
Diane,
that, right? He's scared of
honestly.
Go ahead.
It's just too much. I don't know how you deal with it down there. But we have to go to our first commercial. So same routine as last time. Just hold tight. And D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. We'll be back in about 3 minutes, guys. Hang tight.
Okay, and I'm sorry, I'm just having a tough time. This is about $25.2 billion in loan amounts in your bank, correct? And
not anymore. No, it's down.
But at one point in time. And so we are looking, and so you're uncertain as to why the bank has not chosen to enroll in the SBA portal?
I said we will get you the information.
A little bit of chicken fried, cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right.
Now, this is a very interesting interview. How's everybody doing? My name is Anthony Brian Logan, and today we got to talk about the post-prison interview with the convicted Russian arms dealer, the merchant of death, Lord of War, Victor Bout. Now, we all know the story about Victor Bout. He was released from U.S. prison and given back to Russia after 11 years for the WNBA basketball player Brittany Griner. Now, the deal was supposed to be Brittany Griner and the U.S. Marine Paul Whelan, who was convicted of spying for Victor Belt, but that didn't happen. So basically, we traded an international arms dealer, a guy who's been called a terrorist, for a weed smoker, and that was it. Pretty embarrassing, but different story. I digress. The whole point is that he gave an interview to Russian state media, RT, upon his release. Now, full disclosure, I've been on RT before. They treat me very well, and that won't really affect my take on this interview, but I'll give you the full disclosure so you can make your own mind up about my credibility or not. And before I go any further, let's roll the clip. If you want to see this clip in full without my commentary, the link, as always, will be in the description. But let's go ahead and roll it.
Do you hate America?
No. You know, in fact, knowing many inmates, I figure out we're sharing way more common. Maybe America is very much similar. Look, it's the same size. They have it's the same kind of this. And when you talk to them, there is nothing there even to beef about. We are naturally, you know, born not to be enemies. And whenever there's conflict, it's elites. You know, every, you know, American I met in a prison who is from rural area was very easy to deal with. He has no problem with Russia, and he was curious about Russia, despite all propaganda.
Now, what he's saying right here, I don't...
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Okay, Diane, we're back.
Okay.
You still there?
Yep.
Hi. So, how is it that when you go down, I was thinking about this during the commercial, when you go down to Manhattan and there's literally still Biden supporters after everything. That just literally blows my mind.
I know. I think they might have Raytheon stock or something. I mean, the people I've met who still support Biden are definitely not poor, I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right, so they don't have to worry about, you know, inflation and
right.
all this other stuff so much. You know, there was somebody that one of Dean's family members, and hopefully she's not listening, but whatever, you know, he said that he wanted to know, what did he call the radio show? Oh, conservative propaganda.
Right, right. Yeah.
And he's a hardcore Democrat, so.
The only one in the family, yeah. So I was talking to him today about, you know, Saturday's mom's 92nd birthday, so we were talking about that. And then, you know, he was asking what I was doing tonight. And I told him, oh, the radio show. I said, you wouldn't like it. He goes, why, what is it? I said, oh, it's, you know, conservative talk radio. And he's like, oh, what? Right-wing propaganda? I said, no, it's not propaganda. It's the truth.
Right.
So,
too much. So tell us, how is your campaign going?
Well, I mean, it seems to be going well. I'm very busy. You know, it's a challenge when you're up against a media blackout and you're not already a multimillionaire, which I'm not. So, that makes it challenging, but in terms of interacting with people, it's really wide open. The biggest challenge is the pessimism, because people have been burned so many times by so many candidates or people who got elected who didn't do what they said they would do, and or just the election fraud, which, by the way, you know you're now allowed to talk about election fraud on YouTube.
Oh,
yeah, but
nowhere.
Did you hear
but
that?
We had
nowhere. Not on YouTube. Not on Facebook. Not on Instagram.
No, you can now.
They
YouTube changed their policy. And again, this shows power of a movement, because I think Rumble has grown so much. YouTube is losing. No one wants to do their shows on YouTube anymore. So now they've changed their policy. You are allowed to talk about election fraud on YouTube.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And on our station, we had the New York State Citizens Audit on last week.
Yeah.
And usually I'm pretty talkative, but they always make me speechless.
Yeah.
Just because I've been an election inspector for 17 years, and, you know, these people work in the polls. They're my neighbors. I know them all. You know, so
yeah,
right.
It doesn't have to do with the neighbors. It has to do with the poll that
the database program.
I mean, tell everybody, Diane, when you were running against Schumer, and you were tell people what happened with your book.
That was very funny. So we were there. Hold on one second. Yes, and you know, I had to get. I turned in 66,000 signatures to get my name on the ballot. I was the only independent in the entire state who succeeded in getting on the ballot in a statewide race because of the 45,000 requirement. And what happened, so I'm watching the vote, and at midnight I'm at 57,000 votes, and I say, well, maybe they're going to at least admit that I got 66,000 votes, maybe they'll let me get up to that. So when I stopped watching, it was 57,000 votes, and I was about 1%. When I got up in the morning, I saw a text from someone, oh, you got 29,000 votes. I said, no, I didn't. I had over 57,000, and I know I had more than that, but I'll get to that in a minute. But it's true. In the morning, my vote was down to 29,000. And by Friday, my vote was down to 25,000, 0.5%. And in fact, what was funny is my campaign coordinator, she had been going to the state board of elections to watch the vote totals. And in the state board, it never went over 25,000. So clearly they had decided that was what my vote was going to be no matter what, no matter how many votes were counted. And the county votes, if you added them up, came to well over that. But by the time they reconciled everything, it had to be put back down to 25,000. And the way I know it was actually substantially higher is just my county, Rockland County, when I went to bed, I had 0.8% of the vote. And there was one polling agency, Trafalgar, which actually allowed people to pick my name in their opinion poll, and it said I had about 5% of the vote statewide. And what happened was that they – I'm sorry, hold on. Okay. So in my county, I had 5.8%, 6,212 votes when I went to bed. When I woke up in the morning, I had 177 votes, 0.2%. And you say, how does that happen? So I went to the Board of Elections in my county, and I said, I want a time-stamped sheet of how the vote was counted. And, of course, they had back done it all. And then I noticed that the number of what they call blank votes, which is people who supposedly went in there and didn't cast a vote for anyone, was 6,212. So they had literally exactly the same number of votes that I supposedly had was switched with blank votes. So, okay, one county, one polling place, maybe you could say, oh, we just had someone who just made a mistake and they, you know, blah, blah. Do you know 30 counties had the exact same number of blank votes as they initially had for me on election night? And if you had kept them all, right, and if you had kept them at that level, I would have had more like 150 or 200,000 votes statewide, which is over the threshold for getting a party in the state, which is why I'm sure they couldn't allow me to keep it, even though it wasn't an issue of me having won the election, right? That wasn't the issue. It was to, and I think they sold them publicly actually as a way of really trying to demoralize people because they could have been a little more subtle about it. I mean, I had people sending me screenshots saying they started doing screenshots when they saw my vote total actually going down.
Oh.
That's
so
crazy. That's excellent. And you aren't the only one. You know, you're not the
no,
only
I'm
one
not.
That happened to. There were some people in our local elections that, you know, they – all the same thing.
Yeah, talking about
the local elections,
I got a mailer today from a couple of the local guys, you know, one guy running for supervisor, another guy running for town council in my town. I'm not supporting them. I'm supporting the guys that are primarying them. And they actually said that they want to keep my town affordable and control taxes. Well, both of these guys voted to breach the property tax cap. You know, the only town in Erie County to breach the property tax cap. And they're Republicans. They're rhino Republicans.
Well, see, I have a feeling. I think we really are potentially in a revolutionary moment. I think people have had it. But the question is not just to be anti. The question is, what are we for? That is, if this whole system crashes, if the government fails or whatever, what should the system look like? What is the constitutional form of economy for the United States? What is the goal of the economy, right? It's not just for people to get by. It's that you have to have a growing population, and each generation has to have a higher standard of living than the previous one. And that doesn't mean having more money. It means longer life expectancy, lower infant mortality. Your children are fluent in more languages and they learn to play the clarinet and they're doing, you know, chemistry experiments in the basement that might blow up the house, you know, that you're, right? So that you can see that your children are going to have a potential to surpass what you did. And that's good. We used to want that. If you think of immigrants who came here and how they slaved and worked because they said, my children are going to grow up Americans and they're going to have a better life than I do. And I think Americans are fundamentally good on this whole migrant crisis. I think it is deeply cynical. I think it's like when they closed down all the mental hospitals and these people, of course, couldn't live on their own, so they ended up homeless or in the prisons. And then you basically said, well, the people who are homeless are clearly crazy, they're mentally ill, and you looked on them as a lower category of human. And I really think they're trying to create conditions to see if they can get people to kill each other. Because they're trying to degrade us. Right. Mm-hmm. And to say this is a human being is not a human being, they're an animal.
Yeah,
and
you know,
we're not. Go on.
Yeah, look what happened with the riots a couple of years ago with Antifa and Black Lives Matter. There were people, you know, killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
and then you look at it and you find out it's the same 50 people that are getting bused and flown all over the country.
Right.
Because most people don't want to kill each other. People don't want to do that. And so they do everything, like the whole thing you were talking about, reparations. Well, they also have a problem because the large number of the people in this country that we call African American are descendants of slave owners and their slaves, because we know what the slave owners did to their slaves. So which side is going to be paying the reparations? You're going to pay the reparations to yourself? And then what good is reparations if the price of a loaf of bread is $6?
Right.
So that either we transform the situation where everyone sees that there's a certain stability, a certain confidence where you can relax. I'm convinced that at least 70% of the road rage is because people can't pay their credit card debt or their health insurance, and they're like one paycheck away from eviction. And so somehow everyone then becomes a competitor, whereas if we were prosperous, if it was like it used to be where one week's pay on a 40-hour a week job, one person's pay in 1 week could pay your mortgage or your rent, right? That was one quarter of your paycheck, and that one person working 40 hours a week could support a family of 5 or 6 people. And you could have a parent, right?
You had a parent at home, you know, that was there to guide, you know, to guide the kids. Now, you know, both parents are at work and the schools are raising them. And we all know what's going on in the schools.
Right. Well, and I've said for years that, you know, part of the problem with our society, the way it is today, was, you know, I'm a little older, and, you know, she says a lot older. And, you know, when I was a kid, Dad worked and Mom stayed at home. Now, for the average family to live the same lifestyle that they did when they were kids, both parents have to work. I mean, look at the price of a new car. It's more than the price of a house was when I was a kid.
Exactly. Now you want to live in your car. So.
And there's people I know that do. But I just want to comment on something real quick. This was going back years ago. I went to L.A. because one of my things on my bucket list was to see The Price is Right. This was before I knew anything about what Hollywood was about. And we went to see Dr. Phil. And he had a show about at-home moms. And this was, 17 years ago, said that an average at-home mom, if she got paid, would make like $325,000 a year if she got paid for all the work that she did. So, hey, plug to all the moms that still stay home, because that is a thankless, job that you don't get paid for.
Well, yeah, so, now it's, $35, $40 an hour if you want to pay somebody to clean your house.
Yeah.
And Mom used to do that. And, vacuuming, that's skilled labor. I mean, there's unions, the vacuuming unions. And, so vacuuming is like $50 or $60 an hour.
Right.
Okay. And window cleaners, they make a lot of money. Yeah.
We're getting off topic here just a little bit. So, wasn't there a question that came in? Oh, yeah. Michael from Niagara Falls. He says, Diane, if you're able to win your campaign, what is the first thing that you want to try to change if you get into office?
Well, the first thing is we have to rein in the power of these billionaires, and because that's what's driving everything, and therefore the reinstatement of the Glass-Steagall Act, which is the separation of the bank, putting up that firewall, which protects the savings and loans, and doesn't allow the speculators, the friends of Jeffrey Epstein, to get a free pass and do whatever they want, and then we bail them out. That has to be ended immediately, and that would take away a huge amount of power of the people who are running these operations now.
Yeah, that's an awesome answer, because there is no accountability there. And, the central banks, they own everything. And there's so many people that don't understand that. They don't know that. They don't know that there's elite. Oh, there's nobody controlling us. There's no way, no way. Yeah, there is.
I think what is it? Something like five banks in this country have 85% of the money. Is that pretty accurate?
I think that's about right. Yeah, it's the banks that caused the collapse in 2008 now are 30% larger than they were then. So think about that. So we have more money in the hands of fewer people. What was the magnitude of that collapse, and what are we headed for now?
Uh-huh.
And talking about my love for banks, when I was a kid, I had a savings account. And believe it or not, I got 4.5% on a passbook savings account.
I remember those.
I remember that, too.
You remember that, taking it to the bank and getting your little stamp?
Yeah, right.
The deposit
right.
thing.
Yeah,
right.
And,
I got a flashlight.
Yeah. My parents' mortgage was 4.5%. So, now I've got money in a savings account. For thousands of dollars, they'll give you like 18 cents a quarter.
Right.
I might as well take the money and buy gold and silver and throw it under my mattress.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Yeah, that was a great answer, and that really was a great answer. And it's the truth. If it doesn't change from the top down, it's not going to matter who's elected. It's not going to matter, it just doesn't matter. The local elections
won't
matter.
No, exactly.
The other thing that we need to do is bust up monopoly.
And we don't need more laws. The laws are there. They're just selectively enforced, as we were discussing about Trump and so on. There's plenty of laws. It's just especially antitrust and anti-monopoly laws, are simply not enforced, and we should enforce them. You know, George Washington, in his farewell address, which sounds a lot like Alexander Hamilton, because he said you need a powerful government. Why? To protect people's freedom. Now think about that. And FDR actually made this point in one of his speeches about when he was going after the Wall Street royalists. He said, where are the small businesses? Where are the entrepreneurs? Mm-hmm. Who is protecting the mom-and-pop business discoveries are made?
Yeah.
Diane, you're cutting in and out a little bit.
Yeah, that's okay.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry. I just went over the George Washington Bridge. That might be why.
And it's time for a break anyway.
Yeah, we're going to hit our last break before you bring your back on, if that's all right with you.
Okay.
All right. So, D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. Hang tight, guys. We will be back in 3 or 4, however long it takes Dean to go. I'm just joking. We'll be back in 4 minutes. Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. See you then.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Okay, we are back. This is Diana.
You stop it. We're going to get some rude emails about that. What's the matter?
Yeah, right. Okay. Well,
So, Diane, why don't you tell everybody that's listening and that will be listening, because there's a lot of people that listen to the show afterwards, how they can get a hold of you, what your website is, and, you know, how they can donate to your campaign.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate that donate plug. Is my sound better? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, much better.
Good. Okay. So my website is sareforsenate.com, and that's S like Sam, AREFORSENATE, sareforsenate.com. I think on, Twitter, it's just Diane Sayre, at Diane Sayre. I'm on Facebook, which is Sayre number 4 Senate. And if people want to, you can call my campaign, which is 646-328-1932, 328-1932, area code 646. And I would love it if you want to volunteer or donate. The petitioning is going to begin next April. Last time I had about 200 volunteers, and I didn't, that wasn't my favorite way, because I think if we have 500 volunteers, then there's a little bit of redundancy, so people don't have to go out in the pouring rain every 7 days a week, 12 hours. I mean, we were doing, it was really crazy what we did, and it's very destructive, and it should be changed. But I'm going to need a lot of volunteers to get on the ballot. And I think since I did it successfully last time, I'm expecting the knives to be out and all kinds of who knows what, dirty tricks. So definitely sign up on the website just to volunteer or to donate or to be in touch or to ask questions.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, getting on the ballot, you know, that's got to be nerve-wracking.
Well, and the other thing is our friend Cuomo, he changed the petition time from June till March. So, you know, when it used to be right. Real nice, and I've got a love-hate relationship, you know, with the timing, because in June, you know, only 1 out of 10 doors that you knocked on were the people home. You know, they were all at soccer
right.
games or out to dinner or something like that. Where in March, everybody's home. And what I noticed is that when you – because I've been getting signatures for 17 years, 18 years, something like that. I don't even remember. But what I noticed is if you wear your NRA hat, people open the door right away. They don't think that you're selling windows or something. So
that's funny. All right, that's a great tip.
Yeah, so wear your NRA hat, you know. I guess
we better get you one.
Yeah. So
I have one, actually.
Yeah, so then they don't think you're selling vacuum cleaners or windows or whatever. So.
Yeah, I give you credit for just standing out in the streets. You know, I've watched you on your lives just standing out in the streets of Manhattan, especially with the way that the crime is. And, I mean, it's an excellent tire fire there, and you're standing out there, and I'd be like, boy, I'd be wearing a bulletproof vest if I were you. Because man.
Because you're sure as hell not allowed to carry in Manhattan unless, you know, you know somebody.
Yeah.
No, it's very. But it's. I'll tell you, people want to be liberated. It's very controlled, and a lot of people actually know what's going on, but they're not allowed to talk about it at work. And since they don't talk about it, they think that everyone, like this, one guy came up, I have my new sign, I love it. It says, "No Joe." And it shows Joe Biden with his sunglasses on, licking an ice cream cone in front of New York City with a nuclear bomb detonation.
Oh, wow.
So this guy comes up today and he goes, "Are we the only ones?" It was really funny. And, of course, we're not the only ones, but someone has to tell the truth first. And then everyone says, oh, yeah, I knew that was true. I knew that was true. Blah, blah, you know, exactly. Very funny.
Yeah, and it is true. You know, I'll be out in public and, you know, I know I'm different than other people. And then I'll, you know, I'll start to talk or mention something, you know, whether it's about the jab or just make a flipping comment. And all of a sudden they're like, hey, yeah, I agree. you know, and then you can get into a conversation.
Right.
But people are just so afraid to talk about anything that, you know, you miss that opportunity. But I can remember early on, not to change the subject totally, but I was in Wegmans, and there was a couple, and they were standing by the pharmacy, and I had my free NYS. I run free NYS also, and I had my tank top on. And they were standing there, and the older couple, I mean, they probably were in their 80s. And
so they were older than me.
Yeah, a little bit, no. So they, she saw my T-shirt, and she says, well, what's free NYS? You know, so I went onto my phone, and I showed her my group. At the time, it had like 35,000 people in it. And so she was asking, you know, she started asking, so, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe my husband and I shouldn't get this vaccine. What do you think? And she put the ball in my court. And, of course, I told her exactly what I thought. You know, they walked out of that store and never got that vaccine. And about 15 minutes later, Wegmans, the people get on the microphone in Wegmans and say, we have two more so-and-so vaccines that just opened up at the pharmacy. And I was like, well, you know, so that's just one example of if you talk to people, there are a lot of people that are suspicious. You would rightfully so.
Well, you know,
right.
I'll talk about my mom for a minute, because I was talking with my brother, and my sister talked her into getting vaccinated, and I think one booster, and this was about a year and a half ago. Well, mom really doesn't drink, and she said, yeah, for 2 days after I got that vaccine, I was walking, staggering around the house like I was drunk. And, you know, before the vaccine, and I mean, she's going to be 92, but I didn't think that dementia and Alzheimer's went that quick. Where right now, she doesn't remember from day to day or even from minute to minute a lot of times.
Yeah.
Her mental capacity has gone way, way, way down. And it's really sad because physically, I mean, she power walks 5 miles a day. She lifts weights. Physically, she's in great shape. But just in the past year and a half, she's gotten really, really bad. And I just didn't think it was that, you know, I thought, you know, you look at Ronald Reagan, what did it take him, like 10 or 15 years to really get dementia bad?
Yeah.
You know.
It's so unfortunate, and, you know, she's not going to be the only one. So I kind of want to go back on to the Ukraine thing again and, you know, in the potential of nuclear war. If you were talking to somebody for, like, the first time about that heard, hey, nuclear war, oh, my gosh, that's pretty scary. I mean, how would you explain that in a nutshell to somebody that doesn't really understand?
I think you'd have to just remind them a little bit of the history of World War II and the fact that we overthrew the government of Ukraine and replaced them with a pro-Nazi regime. People also don't know that. So I think it's, and then really what people, I think, can get is that the economy is in terrible shape. Everyone knows it. Everyone is suffering. Everyone's having a hard time and say, well, this is why they're going for war. People don't know why. Why? Isn't that crazy? Why would anyone be that crazy, right? So I think that's an important part of it.
Yeah, you know, it seems like the only job that you can get anymore is, you know, in the military, because AI and, you know, advanced robotics has taken over anything. You know, just look when you go into McDonald's. They don't take your order at the cash register anymore. You type it in and put in your card on a little board.
How do you know? You're not supposed to be in McDonald's.
I've seen them. They...
Ah, I busted.
Yeah. Well, you know, I drink the coffee and then throw the cup out the window. So.
Yeah, right.
So, but anyway, they were talking someplace I read that they're going to fully automate McDonald's. No more people in the back cooking. No more counter people.
They don't cook.
No more nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's scary to think. And I don't know if it was Elon Musk that said early on or somebody that was talking about AI that said the percentage of AI that would be in 10 years, it was a scary number, you know. And
well, they're actually having, I think, congressional or Senate hearings right now on AI and limiting it and stopping it dead in its tracks before, you know, the machines can build more machines and get rid of all of us.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on that type of stuff? Or?
Yes, I do. And I'm sorry. I have a dog who's crazed, who's been alone all day, and I just got to him. But I think that really getting back to this question of the human identity, I think the real threat is that they're trying to convince us that people are robots, that there's not a unique aspect of the human mind to make a creative discovery, which no robot can replicate. Whoops, sorry, hold on a second. I'm just battling with two pit bulls. One is mine and one is someone else's.
Plus,
sorry. And I'm back on this education. There we go. At any rate, so people don't know what it means to be human. That's really what it comes down to. They don't know what it means. We have so devalued the human spirit, the idea of creativity, the idea that we are completely unique from the animals, and we are completely unique from computers. We're just
absolutely.
A computer will never be able to replicate a discovery. You know that thing of a light bulb going off, right? Because you get an insight, and it's like a flash, and it's something as if from above. It comes from a whole. It's like, I don't know if you ever read that book, Flatland, where all these shapes, well, they're in two dimensions, basically. So all they can see are the edges. So if you're coming to, if you're a square and you're coming to a triangle head on the edge, you can't really see that the thing you're heading to is pointed or straight. Everyone sort of looks like a line. Right? Every shape would look like a line if you're looking at them all from their edge. But if you suddenly get above and you look down on it, suddenly you see that it's a totally different, there are differences between triangles, circles, squares. The whole world as you thought you knew it is not what it was. Now, how does a computer replicate that where, oh, I get it, right? Somehow your mind makes a leap that doesn't come from anything that was programmed into it prior, excepting that I would say that God, the creative impulse of the creator is innate in every single human being. And that just simply doesn't exist in AI. But what if you tell people, no, you're just a computer? How does Facebook treat us? You're an algorithm, right? We're gonna map what you like, what you don't like, and then if you like A, you must like B because that's the algorithm that we have programmed you to, and that's how we're gonna sell you things, and that's why you end up also with people being very much more divided because they say, well, how could so-and-so believe X? Well, because so-and-so never even was allowed to think about the other thing because everything that they get is geared toward what they already agree with.
Yeah.
So I think part of the urgent necessity in our nation, what I hope to do with the campaign, why I'm running as an independent, is I want to bridge the gaps. There are certain universal principles. There are universal needs that human beings have, like energy, water, food. They want their children to be educated. I don't know very many people who want their five-year-olds to be learning how to masturbate and not learning how to read or write or learn the alphabet.
Exactly.
So we can, right? So let's pull ourselves together and get these things done. And then, of course, there'll be things that we all disagree with. Great. Why don't we avoid nuclear war? And when we're still alive 10 years from now, which there's a danger we may not be, when we are, we can fight out the other things and figure out what's true and what's not. And frankly, if we go into it with goodwill, lo and behold, we might discover that both sides were not entirely right. And maybe there's some other way of understanding something which is at a higher level than either of us realized. And that's really what we have to get to. And I think the American people are capable of it. If you think some of the emergencies that we have faced in this nation, how people have come together, I think even under all the crap we're seeing today, there is an enormous reservoir of goodwill, creativity, willingness to work hard on a mission, and we just have to have a mission and tap into that.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I've been saying for over a decade is that, 9/11/2001, that was the Pearl Harbor of our generation. And this, and I was around in the 60s and the 70s with all the protests and the flag burnings and all that stuff. And this, and the civil rights movement and the protests and all that mess. And this country came together after 9/11 like never in my lifetime, until Barack Hussein Obama, who did the typical Democrat stuff and split us all apart so that we're all at each other's throats again and everybody hates each other instead of loving thy neighbor. And it's unfortunate that it took something like 9/11 to bring us all together.
Well, yes, but you saw it, and it was tremendous. It was beautiful. And people sacrificed for each other. They were willing to go out on a limb and take a risk to help someone who was in a tough spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and so much of this is by design. You know that. We know that. So much of it is by design. Let's take the Ten Commandments off the wall in the Supreme Court. Let's push the whole month of June for LGBTQ. And when social media came along and when computers came along, that just changed everything. These kids now, they can't be without their phone. They literally get anxiety if they're not with their face in their phone all the time. They don't know how to communicate. And that's a scary thing. And that somehow, if this country is going to survive, that has to be changed.
Yeah, gone are the days where your mom tells you to go out and play,
Oh, yeah.
When I was growing up, the phone was on the wall. There was a dial. And after 5 minutes, my dad walked up and hung up the phone. That was our limit, 5 minutes on the phone, because his friends might be calling him or whatever. There was no call waiting. There was no voicemail. It was on the other end. It was just a busy signal because some kid was yapping.
I'm pretty sure my mom is listening in tonight, and I remember when we first got call waiting in the house. That was the shit. So, Diane, we're almost out of time here. So wrap up maybe in about 3 minutes what it is that you want to say and have our listeners take with them tonight.
Well, I just would say that I'm sorry. I'm really sorry about this. It's just that.
No, we can't even hear him, so don't worry about it. It's all good.
Okay. What I would say is that we are really in very great danger, that people should wake up, but it's not hopeless. But if you change your behavior and your thinking, do not despair. It is a cardinal sin to despair. So pessimism is not allowed. And pessimism is really not from the situation. What I found is pessimism comes from your decision not to take action. And once you decide to start fighting, you'll be a lot happier. That's what I'd like to say.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
So
again, what's your website?
It's Sare for Senate, SareForSenate.com, SareForSenate.com.
Great. We appreciate you being on tonight. And, as things get closer, we'd love to have you on again,
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah,
very glad to have been here. And I'll be seeing you soon.
Yeah, and I'll be sure that we get all the information and all this over to you once it's done.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
So for next week, we've got on some local guys that are running. Dean can tell you about that.
Yeah, Mike Madigan, who's currently a Grand Island town councilman who's running for supervisor, and Dan Kilmer, who is a retired from the military after 38 years, and he was a Lewiston town councilman, saved that town millions of dollars with some of his programs and his negotiating skills with waste management and modern disposal and things like that. Actually, they've got a couple of hazardous waste dumps up there.
Good. So they'll be on next week. And then we have a super huge guest that we're going to have on in July. And then we've got Bobby Ann Cox, who's coming back on. She's going to update us on the quarantine camps in New York State. So we do have a couple of spots open in July. So if you guys know anybody that is interested in being on the show, you can get a hold of us through our Facebook page or our emails.
The big one for July, and we don't know what date yet. They just contacted us yesterday, so we're working through the details.
Yeah, we're not going to give the name, but we're going to have one of the presidential candidates on.
Right.
So you guys will have to look for the event page for that. So D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond, anything you want to add?
Nope, just have a good weekend. All good
right.
Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Be good to each other. We shall see you next week.